Before he was elected, Governor Scott Walker said he would present budgets that deal with the states, and this is the governor's quote, crumbling bridges and highways. Well, he was elected, and on March 1, he presented a budget for transportation as well as a budget that would operate the rest of state government. So how well did the governor do dealing with what he said was our crumbling highways and bridges? I've asked three experts to join me on this Newsmakers to talk about that. I want to thank to my immediate left, Pat Goss, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association. To his left, Craig Thompson, Executive Director of Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. And Steve Henninger, Executive Director, 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin. Well, thanks, gentlemen. We're getting to know a little bit more about the governor's transportation, a little bit more every day, even though the Fiscal Bureau official summary isn't out yet. So before we go through seven bullet points, seven summaries of it, let's talk about something obvious. First of all, the governor said, I'm not going to raise the gas tax, and his budget doesn't do that. The governor said, I'm not going to raise what we all pay to register our vehicles, and it doesn't do that. So the governor said, I'm not going to have any more transfers from the transportation fund to the general fund. Governor Doyle did too much of that. So it does those three things. But what about the rest of the transportation budget as you understand it? So before we get into seven specifics, an overview. Steve, you want to go first?
Sure. There's a couple of things. While the governor does take some money from the general fund, $35 million in taxes on vehicle sales, he also does a little trick that really hurts transit and hurts the general fund, which is he takes $107 million of transit aid, which transit aids have always come out of the transportation fund, and he puts those aids for transit out of the general fund. So what he's doing is he's costing the general fund $107 million that normally wouldn't have happened. And it's at the peril of transit because the general fund is smaller. In effect, what he's doing here is pitting roads against schools because you now have that money which transit's going to have to depend on from the transit fund. The other problem is the governor talked about repairing crumbling roads and bridges, and to a large extent he's very successful in doing it, and that's great. But he also expands roads to the tune of over $700 million in southern Wisconsin. And at a time when everyone else is being asked to do with less, we have less school aids, we have less transit aids, we have less Medicaid aids, we have everybody doing with less, and at a time when people are driving less, why are we spending $700 million more on a highway from southern Wisconsin to Madison? Where are these priorities? We think it's an embarrassment of riches, frankly, with all due respect to the road builders, because there's nothing else that they could have gotten in this budget.
And they're at the table, and we will be hearing from them. But just a quick follow-up. Yes, he recommends that transit aids be moved from transportation to the general fund, but that's in fiscal 13. It's not in 12. That's my understanding, correct? Okay. Craig, your 10,000-foot overview on the governor's budget?
Well, you know, from TDA's standpoint, it's really an interesting budget because on certain instances, the governor's budget moves forward on some things that, as an association, we've been calling for over a decade. One is to broaden the base, which is really the most narrow base of any state in the country for how we fund transportation. We are all gas tax and registration fees right now. And moving forward, that's not going to work. And we've said we need to broaden that and find other user fees like many other states have done, such as sales tax on vehicles, and the governor's budget does that. And so we've been calling on governors and legislators to do that for years, and we think that's a significant step forward. The fact that there are no transfers out of this transportation fund to the general fund, and that he held true to his promise to make sure all the transportation user fees collected stay in the transportation fund is another significant step forward. There are two areas, though, that we are concerned with, and one Steve had talked about. There is the taking of transit out of the transportation fund and funding it out of the general fund. And from the Transportation Development Association's standpoint, we've always viewed transit as a transportation program. And we believe that Wisconsin's gotten it right by funding it out of the transportation program, out of the fund. So we think that's something that should be looked at. And then there was also a cut to local aids for counties and cities, right. And those connector roads that lead to the major roads are very important as well as the major roads that are out there. I will say, just to counter a little bit of what Steve said, though, the expansion that Steve talks about. really was set forth under the Doyle administration, has been planned for a long time. This is not something new that Governor Walker dreamed up or came up with.
This is $700 million?
Yeah, this has been, our Southeast Freeway is, it turned 50 years old and it absolutely has to be rebuilt. There's been a long process that's been gone through, and the Transportation Projects Commission that met under Governor Doyle recommended I-90, which is one of the things that's moving forward. And then there's the zone interchange in north-south. So, you know, I would say that's something that was already, he's continuing something that already began. So.
Okay, thanks. Pat, how'd the governor do?
I think in light of all the fiscal conditions, you know, and the structural deficit in the general fund, I think the governor did as best as we, you know, possibly could have expected in maintaining the commitment to at least hold flat the levels of infrastructure investment that are going on in the state. Obviously, there's some constituent groups who have been funded out of the transportation fund, as Steve alluded to, that are probably not going to be happy, and we expect them to be in the Capitol making their case and pleading their cause. Just to address, you know, Steve and some of his friends like to just give this blanket characterization of a project like the reconstruction of I-90 between Beloit and Madison as this huge capacity project, when in fact, you know, what that is reconstructing that existing road, which has outlived its useful life. Anyone who has traveled it, especially on a weekend, knows we need to add capacity there. And quite frankly, that project is going to give hope to Janesville and Beloit that have double-digit economic unemployment right now. And it's projects like that that will turn their economy around and get them going forward in the
future.
Well,
we've now hit several of the seven major areas that I want to come back to. So let's do them one by one. Could we have the first summary, please? The governor's transportation budget. Let's just deal generically with the subject of major highway developments. You'll see that the governor keeps it pretty flat, $367 million, $372, $371. That's no surprise. Anybody want to say any PSs on this one? Okay, then let's go to the, they get more interesting, gentlemen. Let's go to the second one. The governor's budget slows the widening of the north-south freeway. This is the I-94 corridor, Milwaukee to Illinois. Fiscal 2012, he'd spend $152 million, dialing that back in fiscal 2013 to $43 million. Anybody on the impact of that? Now, this highway goes right through Finance Co-Chair Voss's district. He has a few questions about that, but is this good? Is this a good policy shift so we can focus on the zoo, which comes up next in our items?
I think it's a decision that the administration's made. I think both are very good projects. I think, as I recall, when I was at the Department of Transportation some 10 years ago, the queue was Marquette, Zoo, I-94. And the Doyle administration came in, for whatever reason, made some changes into which projects would go when. Again, I think both are good projects, and the zoo, certainly based on the numbers, I think it's, what, 350,000 vehicles a day?
350, yep.
Move through that
busiest intersection in the
interchange. If you drive there in the morning or you drive there at evening, they need to reconstruct that. They need to improve it in terms of the safety, and they need to add capacity where appropriate.
Okay. Well, what percentage complete is the widening of the north-south from Milwaukee to Illinois? Because we've been throwing money in that for a couple years, haven't we? So have we got some widening done? Obviously, I live in the Madison area. I'm asking a stupid question, but is it any percentage complete?
Yeah. I can't give you an exact, Steve, but I know there's been quite a bit of work in Kenosha County, Racine County, and obviously the big one that's been going on is the Mitchell Interchange. Yeah. So, you know, a good chunk of that will be done. I can't tell you an exact percentage of what that is, but it's moved along very well.
Okay.
And I think if you look at what Secretary Gottlieb has talked about and the governor is, the part they're slowing down in north-south, I think, is the additional lanes. Because what they've said is they believe that the project as was moving forward before, if you're planning for the next 40 years, you need those additional lanes which are going to be built, but it's not a today problem as much. So from their prioritizing, and it seems to make some sense to me, if one's in the air and one's on the ground, And the one that's in the air is the busiest interchange, you may want to make sure that that's fixed first for safety reasons and others. And the widening, if you put that off a little bit, there's time to deal with that.
Do you have any problem with spending less on the north-south, Steve?
No, I mean, I think, you know, they're reallocating resources as necessary. And, you know, those projects are underway. They need to be completed at some point. You know, the battles over whether they should have been an extra lane or not are over, and let's just get let's just get it done when we can.
Okay, then let's look at the next major summary of what the governor's recommending, please. The governor would speed up the cash to start rebuilding the Zoo Freeway. He said that in his State of the State and Budget message. Fiscal 12, $80 million. Fiscal 13, $145 million. However, now we did say this is the busiest intersection in Wisconsin, 350 vehicles daily. Last summer there was an emergency. They had to rebuild just jerry-rig part of it. So this is a high priority by any standard. However, notice the last item here. Is it fair to say we still don't know, we taxpayers, and the governor's budget includes no recommendation on how to pay the overall cost of reworking the zoo interchange of costs that range from $1.9 billion to $2.3? We don't know the future how to pay for that, do we, gentlemen?
I'd say the short answer to that is no. I would have to agree with you on that. That if you project out those additional costs and you keep the revenue stream where it's at, you don't change the gas tax, you don't change registration fees. Now, again, the governor did propose sales tax and vehicles, which can grow to ultimately about $200 million.
Yep, and that's one of our items to get to.
Will help, but if you project it just on that and you take a snapshot, it's if you don't make adjustments to those other things, it's going to be difficult to keep the overall state program going and be able to pay for some of the needed things we've got to do to fix the Southeast Freeway system.
Don't you agree that this, Steve, let me ask you, do you consider this the number one transportation problem in the state of Wisconsin? Does your group?
I'd say it's the number one highway problem in the state. I don't know about transportation problem. But, you know, here's where I think we're running into some issues that we need to talk about and really get a better understanding on. We have a commitment in the state to try and use the transportation fund to fund projects. However, we're seeing that because of the proposed budget, we're dipping into the general fund. We're taking general revenues out of the sale of vehicles. It's going to grow to over $100 million in a few years. So those are general funds that are being used for highways. And if we look at what's happening with highways, we've got people that are, A, driving less, and they're driving more efficient vehicles. That is driving down the number of dollars that are generated for the transportation fund because the gas tax revenues are going down. Either people have got to start driving more or get less efficient vehicles, or we have to raise the gas tax if we're going to have any sustainable transportation fund to really cover the cost of road construction in the state. It just raises the question, if people are driving less, why are we building more? Now, these projects are underway. These are decisions that are made. You know, we're adding capacity to the zoo. We're adding capacity to I-90 between Kenosha and Milwaukee. But then as we go forward, we have to think about the long-term impacts of our spending. Why are we widening I-39 if vehicle miles traveled are going down? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Can I address that, Steve?
Please do.
I mean, that's like, you know, having no vision about the future, not considering what's going to happen in the future. When I-90 was constructed between Beloit and Madison, I'll guarantee you the planners at that time, when that was built in the 70s, had no idea about the amount of trucks and vehicles that would be on that road today. You can't look at, given, you know, the situation with our economy, and I'm curious, Steve, I'd like to know where you get that VMT is down in the state. I know revenue collections from gas is down, predominantly due to fuel efficiency, but I haven't really seen that VMT has declined significantly. But they're looking out to the future. They're doing their projections. This economy will turn around. The projections on the increase in freight traffic on I-90, the increase in commuter traffic on the zoo and projects like that is pretty clear. And we need that added capacity now. Otherwise, we're going to pay a lot more for it in 10 or 15 years when we're back to a bottleneck condition that exists today at times on I-90.
Okay, a couple of things about that. I just want to address that. First of all, the VMT figures are from DOT. They've been going up steadily since the 70s. We drive more than twice as much per capita as we used to, almost three times as much in 1970. And they flattened out and they actually began to decline in about 2007, 2008 when we had the gas crunch. They're flat right now. Part of the thing about looking at the future, you know, you're right, in the past we've grown tremendously, but we have gone to more than three people per car, and we're now down to about 1.1. Pat, we can't have less than one person per car. That's why we're running out of revenues to generate for the fund. we aren't going to continue driving as much more as we used to because we're all in our own cars now, whereas we used to be doing more carpooling. So we need to get a handle on this because regardless, even if it's going up slightly, it's not going to go up like it has in the past. And I think that you folks, your members would agree that we're not going to do it on the sources of revenues that we have right now. So we got to start thinking about the future in a little bit more creative way.
Well, and I think the governor's done that by what he's proposed in
go to
terms
the general
of
fund.
The sales tax to start coming over.
And that
because
when
the economy turns around, the general fund revenues will catch up quicker than they will in terms of transportation fund
Did
revenues.
You have a PS on that, Craig?
Well, and if you look at what other states, Minnesota, for example, they did the same sort of thing. They phased in sales tax on vehicles and vehicle-related parts to the transportation fund over a period of time, and now actually 100% of that sales tax on vehicles goes to the transportation fund, 60% to highways and 40% to transit. So that was a way that they did look at it. The other thing I did want to mention is actually University of Wisconsin, the Center for Freight Infrastructure and Research, CFIRE. They're the ones who did some of the projections about I-90, and they're projecting that freight on that corridor to almost double by 2025. So I think there is a documented need for that.
One other thing about the funding for roads, this budget actually takes funds out of the environmental fund to build roads. So we're looking all over the place to
from the Petroleum Inspection Fund, $39 million.
What it does is it rededicates what always had been historically a transportation fund source of revenue, which is titling fees, to put it back in the transportation fund. And my understanding is the administration replaces that funding. Is that correct or incorrect?
I'm not sure. No, I don't think that they do replace that funding. It's out of, and those funds are because of the environmental impacts that cars have on the environment.
Okay, I want to draw the conclusion on the Zoo Freeway this way. I want to put it in context. The administration's budget calls for the major work on the zoo to be done in the window of 2015 to 2018. So we're just laying the groundwork. We're just buying the properties that have to be gone. So with that, we'll draw an end to the discussion of the zoo interchange. And next one, the next summary, a 10% cut in road aids to local government, fiscal 11, $437.9 million. In both fiscal 12 and 13, $389.6 million. What does that mean for local governments?
It's the next whammy that they're getting because they can't raise property taxes. They've got all kinds of revenue cuts that are coming, and now they won't have any mechanism to pick up the added costs of local road repair.
Is it that simple?
If you look at it, it's about $48 million, which to the local units of government is significant. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we are concerned with because, as Steve talked about, there's not going to be other areas in this with property tax freeze and others to turn to. And again, those collector and feeder roads, there's a group called AreaDevelopment.com, a national group that does surveys every year of CEOs and consultants, and they ask for when you locate or relocate, what are the top 50, I think, reasons for making those decisions. And actually, access to highways is either number one or number two between labor costs every year for the last, I think, 10 years. So those roads that provide the access to the highways we think are critically important to attracting jobs. And so for those local governments, this is something that we're hoping can
well,
be looked at.
You two gentlemen run major statewide trade groups. Yours is a major group too. But are you going to try to overturn this 10% cut in local road aids? Pat,
I think it's definitely something we're going to look at and try to work with local units of government, the legislature and the administration to find out if we can find a way to solve that problem.
You'll have to find some money elsewhere.
Well, and that's obviously that's a challenge.
Budget.
But quite frankly, a lot of those aids, importantly, go to take care of local roads, but they're also used to build projects. Replace streets, do that type of work at the local level, which certainly is important to my members and our workers.
Okay, well, the next item, please. 10% cut in transit aids. Fiscal year 2011, $118.3 million in both fiscal 12 and 13, $106.5. Mr. Hinegar, are you still a member of the RTA?
I am still
then
a member
why
of the
don't
RTA.
You, now this is the Dane County RTA?
Right.
Okay, why don't you lead off a response to that? What does this mean?
Well, it really is going to hurt transit systems. This administration does not like transit, it's very clear. What's happened to transit over the past several months, we've lost $46.6 million of federal aids to local transit systems because of the governor's budget repair bill. Because how it treats unions, that's what's at risk for local transit systems. That's before we get to the state budget.
Is that for sure? Because when I covered the when I covered the debate over the budget fix-up bill, there were some legislators, some Republicans, who said maybe it's not that clear cut, Steve. So I don't want to say no, but yeah. I just want to ask, is that definite?
I'll defer to Fiscal Bureau. They're the ones that put out the paper on that and said it.
Okay.
And then we get to the next stage, which is the governor's budget, which has a cut in aids, as you just noticed, and I think that's in 2012. But we also see the movement of the transit aids out of the transportation fund and into the general fund. And that's where the biggest hit is. And when you look at the transportation fund, you know, that's where we pay for highways, we pay for ports, we pay for airports. And up until now, we've paid for transit because it's a legitimate transportation need. By putting it into the general fund, what you're doing is effectively taking out $107 million of the general fund, which has already been hit with huge cuts, and pitting it against other programs that, frankly, may be more important for certain aspects of society than transit. So what it does is it puts transit in competition for limited funds, and there will be cuts to systems at a time when transit demand is going up. And the other thing that this administration just doesn't want to acknowledge is that transit development can add significant value to a community. Transit-oriented development is some of the highest value development that can go on, mixed use, retail, and residential. What this is doing, it's limiting the ability for that to take place. And with the change in demographics in the state, it borders on irresponsible to see these kinds of cuts to transit. And finally, it's outside of the budget, but it's coming down with some pretty powerful legislators. The only thing that's left after you have a property tax freeze in order to supplement farebox revenues right now is limited authority of a couple of regional transit authorities. Dane County has one, and there's two others in the state that can raise a sales tax. Robin Voss has a bill to abolish, not to tweak it, not to say that we have to change something, to abolish them completely. And what that does to local units of government, it leaves them in a total bind for doing anything with transit. We are going to see some transit systems completely fail, and others will just have cutbacks in services and raises in fares. And even though there's an increasing demand, they'll have fewer riders.
Well, and I've got two quick follow-up questions. Number one, The governor's not recommending the end of RTAs like you serve.
That's correct.
So that's being pushed by Representatives Voss, Senator Grothman, and who else?
Steve Ness.
But do you expect that bill by abolishing RTAs to pass?
I don't predict anything in the legislature, but it has some very powerful friends behind it.
Have you guys got a position on those, on RTAs, both of your groups?
We've registered in opposition to the bill to repeal the RTAs. We support RTAs.
Greg?
We support RTAs, and as a matter of fact, think we should have them in more areas of the state than we
Okay, then my follow-up question.
We have friends here.
Yes. Wonderful.
Something we can agree on.
Kumbaya moment. The governor's budget cuts, 10% cut in transit aids. What's it mean for a low-income bus rider, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay? Pay how much more?
It depends.
Or will there be no bus service in some of these?
In some areas, there may be no more bus service. For example, if you look at the Fox Valley system is about to lose all federal operating aids because of the size of the community. They go over a certain threshold, and then they lose those dollars. They need a replacement source. Milwaukee County has talked about a 30% reduction in service. So, you know, it's a question of where do you live? You know, some of those areas won't be served anymore. And you look at Milwaukee in particular, parts of the city have less than 50% of the population with any access to a car. And it becomes an issue of how do you get people to work? And if you take away or you make it prohibitively high or difficult, you know, your former newspaper did stories about people who would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to take their 2.5 hour bus trip out to the suburbs someplace for a job. And you know, is this how we're going to treat people in a recovery? The other thing is, I'm among them. I'm getting older, and one of these days I'm going to be joining those that have more difficulty driving, and transit would be a nice service to, you know, complete the fabric of a community. And if we're doing away with transit, we're chasing people away from our communities, I think.
Okay. Meet your friends. They support you.
They do. And I think they've been very helpful, and I appreciate their help.
I would agree, too. I think the cut in transit is significant. And, you know, for a lot of the reasons that Steve talked about, you know, back when there was an RTA proposal in the southeastern part of the state, Bucyrus International, Northwest Mutual, Johnson Controls, Johnson Wax, a lot of those businesses came out and talked about just how important transit, whether it's a bus system or whatever it might be, to get workers to their jobs are, for them to be able to stay in that area of the state. There's about, I think, if I'm not wrong, Steve, I think it's about 30% or so of people in Milwaukee that don't own cars. So this really is a significant issue about being able to connect workers to jobs, and for all over the state, but I think in Milwaukee in particular, it could affect the economy.
Connecting workers to jobs, but let's also be clear that there's no support for the KRM line in southeast Wisconsin. Robin Voss, Senator Van Wongard, they don't like it. It's dead. Right.
There's no support in the current leadership for that project.
Right.
I think there's a lot of support for the project. But
I understand.
But you're right.
But, yes,
yeah.
our current cast of
That's
political.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and it does remove the $100 million of bonding authority in the budget for that project.
Right. Thank you for saying that. Okay. Our next summary, only two more. The governor's budget would divert, let's see, where are we here? Okay, this is the one on the Transportation Projects Commission. The governor's budget would recommend, would go along the Transportation Projects Commission, let's build these projects out, the most expensive of which would be widening I-39, I-90 from Madison to Illinois to cost of $715 million. This is out there. This was pushed by the former Speaker Sheridan. Can I ask you, is this another, can I ask this question? How do we also pay for this?
Well, I think if you look right now, under the Doyle administration, it wasn't until the last year of his governorship that he actually called the Transportation Projects Commission to meet. And these four projects for those 8 years were sitting there. So the way we can afford it is if you look at the projects that are currently going on under this program around the state, they're all starting to come to an end. And it's opening up a window of opportunity to start scheduling some of these four projects, which are all very good, important projects with a lot of safety improvements in them. To start filling those openings in the highway program, assuming that we can at least maintain, not increase, even just maintain our current levels of funding in the major highway program. So we can afford it. It can be done.
Which gets me to the T word, tolls. Is there anything in the governor's budget that enables our DOT to begin a dialogue, new lanes between Illinois and Madison, tolls? Is the governor's budget say anything on tolls?
No, and to a large extent, that's a federal issue. There's some pilot projects that you could apply for now under some of that, but I think that's a topic as Congress and the President grapple with a new reauthorization at the federal level. There's been a lot more talk about tolls and maybe lifting the caps on that, maybe even lifting the ban altogether for existing lanes, which I think in some ways, if you're going to raise enough money, you need to look at that as well, not just new lanes, but. I don't think, and there's nothing in the governor's budget that speaks to toll strip.
Which gets me to why, when I call the fiscal bureau and I say, what's the governor's budget going to spend in fiscal 12 on transportation, because I want to compare it. This year we're spending more than $2 billion a year on transportation, and it's a little bit amazing that the fiscal bureau can't tell me because the federal government hasn't adopted its budget yet. So we don't know how much federal aid we're going to get in fiscal 12, Pat.
Correct. I mean, right now, it's kind of complicated, but federal government works on authorizations, okay? There's usually six-year authorizations. The current one expired 2 years ago, Craig?
A year ago, September.
So, yeah. They just extended it till the end of September, which would be the end of federal fiscal year 11.
But this is budgeting in 2 weeks.
But this is nothing new.
Okay.
I mean, this is something that every governor... You've always had to kind of guess and estimate and hope what your federal funding was going to be. Now, for Wisconsin, we're in a very unique position. Our formula distribution is very favorable, thanks in large part to the work of Congressman Petry and the help of former Congressman Obie. We maintain that formula going forward until they change the authorization to lay out some new vision. But Wisconsin has always done a very good job of not only utilizing all of our dollars, but then getting redistribution of federal dollars from the federal government because we have projects ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to bring up something on federal funding.
Okay.
It's not on this list here. But you'll remember, boy, December seems like a very long time ago. And the state was grappling with whether or not it would take $810 million of federal funding for inner city rail. And then Governor-elect Walker famously allowed that money to be sent back to Washington and redistributed to other states, saying that we couldn't afford the $600,000 a year of annual operating costs that the state would have to incur. That's about what the state portion would be after the federal matching aids for operating costs. This budget has in it a $60 million appropriation bonding authority for upgrading the rails between Madison and Waterloo for a very dilapidated freight rail line that would have been covered by the high-speed rail funding. So when the governor said he couldn't afford $600,000 a year, but then to turn around and introduce a budget that costs $60 million, that would be enough money to not only build that rail line between Milwaukee, if we'd taken the $810 million, but 100 years of operating costs that would have been covered for the amount that he put in for this.
Steve, I didn't know that. Maybe it's because the Fiscal Bureau summary hasn't come out yet. I just have one more subject, one more bullet point that's in the governor's budget, and Craig alluded to it earlier, if we could look that up a second. The governor's budget would divert 7.5% of sales tax collections from autos and vague term accessories. Craig, that hasn't been defined yet, so we don't know the extent of that. That would take it, and now goes to the general fund, take it to the transportation fund. This would start in fiscal 2013, 7.5% or up to $35 million. Craig, you explain why that's a good thing, because it allows us to pay for transportation programs and something beyond the gas tax and what we pay for license plates. Explain how that 7.5 ramps up, please.
Sure. It starts out at 7.5%. I think it goes up to about a little over 10% in the second year, but then it's supposed to go up in 5% increments until it reaches 50% of the sales tax on automobile.
Would that be in fiscal 22?
I'm not sure what year that is.
And what's the most then under the governor's budget that would be diverted from the general fund?
If you do the math based on what he proposed,
it's
about $233 million.
A year?
When all is said and done.
By over what period? 20 years?
A 10-year period.
10-year period.
Yes.
How much?
$233 million, I think, at current collections.
So that's one of the answers to how we pay for future transportation programs without jacking the gas tax or the registration.
Right, we take it out of the schools.
Well, that's okay.
He said it.
It's the general fund. Where do schools get their form? The schools have been cut $800 million.
Look,
and we're increasing revenues for roads out of that same
Steve,
pot.
To be truthful, if you're gonna make comments about where the money comes from, it comes from the general fund.
That's right.
Then why don't you give a list of everything that is paid for out of the general fund? And you know, don't pull this game of trying to pit roads against schools. This is clearly the governor's plan that he talked about during the campaign to get the state's economy turned around, both in the short and the long term, by investing in our infrastructure. In particular, he said roads and bridges.
Okay. I didn't hear him say that he was going to take it out of the general fund in his campaign.
Actually,
Steve,
he was very specific about sales tax.
He said it was when he was in the assembly. Okay. He said it when he was county exec.
Yeah.
He said it during his campaign. Yeah. People may have had their heads in the sand, but the fact of the matter is he laid this out clearly in his campaign.
Well, I think the other thing that's interesting about it, too,
okay,
is
and then
that
I have one more question to draw to a close before we all throw water on each other. Okay.
But I think the other thing, too, is when I talked about us having the most narrow revenue base in the country, if you look at what other states do, what he's proposing is not in any way unique. For example, in Minnesota, they put 100% of sales tax on automobiles and automobile-related. They had a constitutional amendment there that allowed them to phase that in. 2012, it'll be 100%, 40% of which goes to transit. 60% which goes to highways, and I don't think anybody there is saying that they're taking it from schools. It's right now we've got we have one of the higher gas taxes in the country, and people know that. But if you look at the cost to drive, we're actually 32nd. The reason is we put it all in the gas tax. Other states do things exactly like this. They put some in sales tax for automobile-related parts. Some of them have local taxes. Some have others. We had an extremely narrow base. Now they're looking at something that sales tax on vehicles, which drive on the roads, which is still a user concept, and putting that into the transportation.
And if I buy a gallon of gas in Illinois, don't I have to pay a gas tax plus sales tax?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
It's okay. When you buy your drive-through burgers, pretty soon we'll be paying for roads for that, too.
Well, moving on. Okay. Last question, because we are out of time, but this is fine. It's been a great discussion. Toughest part of the governor's budget to get through the legislature, Pat?
Oh, I think the budget as a whole. I mean, it
transportation budget.
Well, I'd rather focus on the budget as a whole.
No.
I think that probably the cuts to local governments, okay. the general transportation aids. I think there's going to be a lot of legitimate concerns expressed on that.
Well, if you want to make that whole, you got to come up with, as Craig said earlier, $49 million, mm-hmm. right?
42.
48. 48. Okay. Craig, toughest part, transportation budget?
I'd say either the cuts to local aids or the transit part. I think both of those are going to be in play.
Steve?
I agree.
Okay. Great. Excellent summary. This has been very fascinating because we're all going to be going through the Fiscal Bureau analysis. I'm so grateful the Fiscal Bureau let me in on a little bit of what is going to be in there, and transportation is going to be a key part of the debate as we pass the budget. So I want to thank Steve Hennecker. I want to thank Craig Thompson. I want to thank Pat Goss for talking about the transportation issues that they'll be voting on one block away in the next 4 months. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.